Done. Awesome. Love that. Love that. Well, again, moms, we're glad that you're here. And I pray that you're having a good visit with your children. And kids, if you haven't, you know, you need to take your mom out for coffee. Because if you go out for coffee, now I'm not personally a coffee drinker, but I do understand that if you go out for good coffee, there's usually good conversation that follows. I think one thing that's really needful between parents and kids is that great dynamic of a great conversation. And so if you can do that over coffee, then kids, take your parents out, or parents, take your kids out, have a blast. I was watching a TV infomercial or of some sort, and it said this, that in 1 week, we consume 2.8 billion cups of coffee. 2.8 billion cups. I hope that's a lot of good conversation that's happening during that time. Anyway, we are very, very glad that you're here and you allow your children to come here. We've been talking about a theme for this year so far, and the theme has been, have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in me in 21:3. We want God to do His work inside of us, whatever that is. He wanted to change us. We want to be different next year, that when we start 2014, that we're different than we are right in the middle of this year because we've been changed, we've been transformed. God's been working on us. He's been making things happen. We've been talking about these journeys that we're on, and we talked about last week about this journey from earth to heaven. And we realized that heaven is the ultimate reward for the faithful Christian, eternity with God. We talked about having our trajectory. We need to have the trajectory to get there. But we also talked about mid-course corrections that we need to make in our life. And when we get to heaven, the only way you can get there, what's the only way you can get there?
Jesus.
Faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That is the only way you can get to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do that, right? It's the grace of God in that period. It says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, this is actually a very powerful verse to me. I brought with me this morning a Bible that my brother gave me. My brother gave me this Bible when he shared the Lord with me, back in 1972, all right? 1972. And in it, it says in this very first page, it says, For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift, it's a gift that we've been given. The gift of God, not of works. You can't work your way there, lest any man should boast. And then he put the scripture reference, and then he said, may God's joy be in your life always, Phil. Allen, 1972. I was 14. Don't do the math, all right? I'm 55. All right. I'll do it for you. 55 with 8 grandkids here soon to be, and that's going to be absolutely awesome. Grace. We're saved by this awesome thing called grace. We can't do it on our own. We can't work our way to heaven. You can't do enough good works to get there. It's only because of the grace of Jesus Christ that we get there. In Romans 3:12, it says, there is none who does good, no, not one. We can't do good enough. We can't be good enough. But it's by grace. We're saved by grace. And the word grace here from Erdman's Bible Dictionary says this, God's unmerited favor toward humanity and especially His people, realized through the covenant and fulfilled through Jesus Christ, what He did for us. The blood that was poured out on the cross was His gift to us because He pays our penalty so we get to go to heaven. He does the time, if you will. We did the crime, He does the time, and we get to go to heaven. We get to enjoy the blessedness of heaven forever and a life changed now. That word charis, that word grace, is the Greek word charis, and it means the divine influence upon the heart. And its reflection in the life, including gratitude. God does something. His grace reaches to us, and we feel something in our heart that starts to stir inside of us, and we sense that God is moving on us. We have this unction to say, well, what do I do with this? I have a feeling inside. I remember that when I was 14, that God was moving on me as my brother shared Christ with me. And then it says, by grace, but it's by grace, but through faith. And faith here in Erdman's, it says, is a human belief in the reliance upon the divine. Then I need something beyond myself. I need something beyond me. And what's beyond me or beyond you or beyond man is God Himself, that which is divine. We need Him to allow Him to change our lives in a powerful way. And that word faith is the Greek word pistis. It means a moral conviction of religious truth or of the truthfulness of God, a reliance upon Christ for salvation. It's the only way. The only way we get to heaven, by grace, through faith. Excuse me. And then it says, it's not of works. Well, what are works? The Greek word here for works is ergon. Ergon, it means to toil as an effort or occupation, by implication, an act or an action. Something that we have to do. Something that we have to do. And Paul makes it real clear. You don't have to do anything. He has it. He does it for us. It's His work. We don't get saved by what we do. I'm sorry. My throat is going on me. And as you all know, I need inflection in order to talk. Lord, help me in my throat right now. We don't get saved by what we do, our works, but by what He did, His work on the cross at Calvary. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. That is the power of His grace, and we must accept His grace by accepting Jesus Christ into our life. Let me say it like this in that scripture. Grace is God's response to us. He makes the first move. He, out of heaven, comes down with His hand upon us, upon our heart, into our life. He makes the first move, and grace is His hand extending toward us. But then it says, by grace, through faith. Faith is our response to God. God's reaching down like this to us, and faith in us is us reaching our hand back up to God. And then all of a sudden, wow, we grab hold of each other. Come here for a second, real. Hurry. Chad. I'm moving in Chad's life, so come over here, Chad, a little closer. I'm pretending like I'm the Lord. However, I know I'm not. Turn around that way for just a minute. So I'm reaching down here. I'm reaching down. I'm getting into his heart. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Wow, he has some pretty strong pecs. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. And I'm moving on him. And all of a sudden, his mind starts to thinking. Have a thinking mind. Look around. Then have a feeling mind like, something's happening in my heart. Look down at your heart. All right. And then, as I'm moving on him, he decides to make a response. And his response is to my hand is, you reach up. So he goes, Lord, I need you. And I'm reaching down. I make the first move. He makes the second move. And we grab hold of one another. And all of a sudden, now we're in a relationship. What are you doing afterwards? Want to go out for coffee?
Sure.
No, I don't like coffee. No, never mind. I'm just kidding. Give him a hand there, all right? God reaches down, but He's reaching down to everyone. There are many people who don't reach back. They don't reach back. They don't put their hand back up in the air. They don't say, God, I need you in my life. Instead, they're just doing their own thing, their own works, their own stuff. But God is reaching down to all of us. And when we get that inkling in our heart and we look up and reach our hand up, wham, He grabs hold of us and a relationship begins to happen with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that happened to me when I prayed a prayer with my brother. And he gave me this Bible back in 1972. I realized that by grace, I'm saved. I reached my hand up. He reached down. I reached up. We developed a relationship. There was only one problem. I was the problem. My life didn't change at all. When my brother came and shared Christ with me, he told me the story of what Christ did on the cross and all that. And I said, hey, that's a great deal. I'd like to go to heaven someday. I reached up. I grabbed hold of God. But my life never changed. Not really one iota. I mean, I was going to church with my mom and the rest of my family all the time. So that didn't change at all. I was still sitting there. Didn't understand anything. Didn't sing. Didn't move. Didn't anything. Because I was cool. Had my Letterman's jacket on. At 14, I don't think I had my Letterman's jacket. I think I was in junior high at that time. But going through church, I never sang. I never did nothing. I didn't want to be involved. I was just there because mom made me go there. Thank God for all the moms that make their kids go to church for a while. But something has to change. It can't just be because I was made to go. But I did learn a few things. But what happened was, my life really didn't change. Although I felt a little more guilt when I went out and sinned. And I was sinning quite a bunch. I definitely had a drinking problem. I started a drinking problem right at the age of 14. I was drinking a lot. And so I was going through, and I felt more and more conviction after those escapades and after those nights. I felt more and more conviction, sure. But you know what? I didn't quit. I didn't change. I had this relationship, I thought, that when I died, you know, I'm gonna pull up, man. I'm dead. Hey, get me up there. But I didn't have anything going on in a day-to-day relationship with him. And I started to realize, and I want to talk about it this morning. In James addresses this in his book in chapter 2, verses 14 and on. He talks about this faith versus works things. This faith versus works, this whole idea that we just got rid of, there is no works with Paul in Ephesians. All of a sudden, James starts introducing this concept of works and faith. Don't they seem diametrically opposed to one another? Now, I think that, you know, we should talk about works because I thought it was a good day because on Monday is tax day, right? And we take, but you know why you pay taxes? Because you work. If you didn't work, you don't pay any taxes, right? If you work, you pay taxes. Taxes and work go together. So does work and faith. It goes together, all right? And I'm going to explain here in just a moment. I just love, you know, it's at this time, you know, everybody is just taxing. Taxes are taxing. I know a lot of people who are trying to finish everything up right now. And it is really, it's something you have to do. You cannot put off any longer. We've got to do it. But also I want to talk about this discussion. And I use four commentaries here, I want you to know, and I'm not gonna address each one, but I'm gonna read from some of them as I go through. But I went through Opening of James by Ellsworth, the Teaching Bible Commentary, Matthew Henry's commentary on the whole Bible, and Erdman's Bible Dictionary. I won't address all those, but I wanted to give credit to all of them. But let's go through this chapter in James 2, 14 through 17, and figure out what was lacking in me that James addresses, starting at verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, everybody say the word says. Talk is cheap, right? If someone says he has faith, but does not have works or actions or doing something or demonstration. And then he says something very, very profound that caused a lot of people to scratch their head. Can faith save him? What do you mean, can faith save him? We just went back, Paul, and let's go back to Paul. Paul was even a bigger figure than James, wasn't he? But Paul, he says, by grace we're saved, through faith. And no, James, you're not thinking clearly here. You're preaching heresy here, right? You're saying that, can faith save him? We've already discovered that faith is what saves us. It's the only thing that can save us. Now, the commentators would say it more like this, of the talking of the day, is, can that kind of faith save him? Can that kind of, the kind of faith that says, but doesn't do. The kind of faith that's just in word only, but not in action. The kind of faith that just threw out a prayer, threw up something up there, didn't know if he really meant it. He wasn't going to walk it out. He wasn't going to move in this relationship. He's saying, can that kind of faith save him? People say, and do, people say, and then don't do all the time. Have you met people that kind of throw stuff out there about all things going to happen and then don't do anything? I kind of where I was at. I said, Lord, I believe in you. But I did nothing to walk out or show that I did. It goes on to say this. He gives an example now. James is going to give us an example. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you, say it with me, says to them, depart in peace. Oh, I wish I had an angelic choir here. Depart in peace, my beloved brother. Be warm. Be filled. These are good things. I just want you to enjoy them in God. But you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body. What does it profit? What good is it if you know somebody's got a problem here and you go, well, I really pray it all goes good for you. Ta-ta. I don't want to get involved. He says, what good is that? What good is that? What does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, faith alone, if it does not have works, is dead. Is dead. What does dead mean? Not alive, right? Dead means dead. Dead means not alive. It's not alive. Do you guys mind if I suck on a throat lozenger while I talk to you? I know that you're going to hear a little clicking sound in there and all of that, but can you bear with me on that? I go, hold on. All right, there we go. And then things fly. No. I'll try to do better than that. It's dead. It's dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead. It's dead. That faith is dead. Meaning it doesn't exist. You can't call it that, is what it's saying. Whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 you can't call it, you can't define it that way. You got the wrong definition. You can't call it faith if you're not working. If you're not doing something, if you're not acting out your faith, it says you can't call it that then. It's dead. It's not alive. It's not there. It's useless. It's like a screen door on a submarine, as they sing about. Man, I don't know anybody who wants to dive down deep in a submarine when they say close the hatch. Well, the screen's shut. Dive, dive, dive. I mean, they're all going to be dead, right? It's useless. It's useless. It's useless. It's dead. How many of you know that if it's your anniversary, guys, and you were to bring home to your wife a dozen dead roses because they had a great deal, dead or dying roses. You know, you get them right when they're kind of tipping over. They're going south. If you bought your wife a dozen, two dozen, five dozen, 50 dozen, showered her with dead roses, what do you think her response would be? Ding dong. You's dead, right? I mean, it's a thought that counts. How many of you know that that's not true? It's a good thought that counts. It's not a bad thought that counts. You go, I had a bad thought. Well, it doesn't count. It's a good thought that counts. You better give her alive roses. Roses going, hi, I'm here. I'm just, hello, world. I mean, you want roses. Not, hi, I'm ready to meet my maker. I mean, you don't want them roses. You don't give them dead roses. You give them something that's alive, vibrant, colorful, wonderful. Ah, the aroma. Now, here's an interesting thing, though. Women take special roses after they do die, hang them upside down, and save them. I have no idea why. We have some roses in our house that have been there for 30 years. Pieces and petals and stuff. And my idea, though, about roses is, why don't you already give them the dead ones? You give them a head start. And they're cheaper. Now, that's the logic of a guy, but that logic doesn't work. You better give them alive roses. And they better be on their way up, not on their way down. Faith better be alive. It better be alive and not dead. If it's dead, he says that faith is useless. And I think what he's saying is, you can't call it faith. Let's not call it faith, because it's something else. Something that you made up, man. You made this up on how you're going to do it, rather than following the way God says, here's a walk of a Christian man or woman of God. Mere words, and I'm going to read from some commentaries here. Mere words are worthless if they do not lead to action, and therefore faith is useless if it's nothing more than a matter of simply words. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. The kind of faith that is content to utter pious phrases and ignore the destitute, as one example, is dead. And that's what they're doing here. pious phrases, great Christian colloquialisms, and great stuff out there, but not an action of your Christian faith. Spoken, oh yeah, wonderfully, masterfully, but he wants it done masterfully as he moves you in the lives of people. Paul's teaching about faith and works focuses on the time before conversion, and James focuses on after conversion. It's one of the aspects we'll talk about a little bit more. Paul, when he says by grace you're saved, he's talking about before you're saved. The only way you can get there is by a mere act of grace and your response in faith. But James is saying, now that you are saved, since you are saved, you better have works following you, or what is that salvation? We do not have a works faith. This is the commentary. We do not have a works faith, but we believe that faith works. We might say that good works cannot produce salvation, but salvation most certainly produces good works. We do good works because we are saved. John Calvin says, it is faith alone that justifies. But faith that justifies can never be alone. It takes both. Continuing on in this scripture. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. And here's what he's trying to get at. Oh yeah, you believe. Faith is believing. I believe in God. I believe there's a God. I believe in God. But he's saying right here, but even demons do that. Demons believe in God. They just don't do what God wants them to do. However, they believe very strongly and know that there's a day of reckoning for them. But they don't do it. They believe in him, but don't do. And he's saying, if you don't do, you're no different than these demons. James is saying, back to our commentary, that you say you have faith and believe in God, but so do demons. They believe there is a God. But is their belief saving belief? Of course not. And neither is our belief in God if it consists of nothing more than nodding in agreement with various propositions and statements about God. He comes down to verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. It's dead. It's not alive. If you think you can have faith without works, you are fooling yourself, O foolish man. You can't have one without the other. And then he goes on with two other things here. He's going to give two examples of people who had faith and works. One of them is Abraham. Abraham, was not Abraham our father justified by, how do we know it? Abraham was justified by faith. There's a verse on that. He was justified by faith. And here's James, all messed up again, says, was not Abraham our father justified by, say it with me, works? When he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And then he says this, do you see that faith was working together with his works? Because he had faith, he had works. Because faith was there first, works followed. But if there is no works following, then people scratch their head. Is faith really there? Is faith really there? And that's his reasoning. And by works, faith was made perfect. It demonstrated this awesome faith that he had. And the scriptures were fulfilled which say Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Wow. This guy who didn't just believe, but he walked out and did what God told him to do. And God loved that. Yes. Your friends do and respond with you. They don't just tell you, get out of here, do it yourself, I'm gone. Your friends are there when you need a helping hand. They're there to do with you and for you. Good. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac, a work. It was a test of Abraham's faith, and Abraham passed the test. James' point is plain. Just as Abraham showed that he had faith by his works, so his readers were to do the same. We are to be doing the same, us, the readers, now, as well. Now, I like this because he talks about Abraham, and I'm sure all of them said, Well, he's Abraham. I mean, he's the father of all. I mean, he's like the head. I mean, he's, wow, Abraham, us. So how can we be like Abraham? I like what James does. I'm sure he was thinking, aha, you know that you can discount because he's so good. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot? Abraham the just. Rahab the harlot. And you're in the middle. Listen, everybody. This is what he's trying to say to them. Was Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? James gives a second illustration as he knows that the people would probably say Abraham did it, but who's like Abraham? He was special. He was a friend of God. So he gives them a harlot. How many of you like her? Someone above them, someone below them. But the point is that both Abraham and Rahab did something. They did not just claim to have faith in God and sit idly. Their faith led them to action, to do something. Just as Abraham showed by his faith his willingness to offer Isaac, so Rahab showed her faith by aiding the spies. Faith and works cannot exist separately and alone. They must go together. They must go together. For as the body without the spirit is dead, he uses this again, useless, those dead flowers that are no good, so faith without works is dead also. Powerful portion of Scripture. Powerful portion of Scripture. And I like the idea that faith and works go together. They're like the wings of a bird. One without the other doesn't work very well. All right? I thought about left leg, right leg, but we could still hop along with just one leg. I thought, So I thought about a bird. It's a little different if you don't have both. We got a little illustration there. I got Rory up in the stand there. I couldn't get a bird in here. I was going to get a little white dove, but I didn't think my wife would allow me to let it fly through here and then do its business during the service. So I got a little plane here. Two wings. Back over here, Rory. Throw it down here to us. Look at this. Okay? So what's that other plane? The Wright brothers, yes. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Can somebody hand me that? Somebody grab that and bring it up to me, that plane over there, would you? Quickly. All right, give me the other plane here. You got another plane? A little more zip, hopefully. Where is it? Where'd it go? Buzzing the tower over there. All right. Can you help me out here on something? Okay, so we saw this one come down. Let's just do this with one of the wings. Okay, give that to him again. Run that up there to him. Run. Go, Brian. Rory, make some movement. Meet him halfway. Look, Rory's not even moving. You're a football player for crying out loud. Goodness gracious. Get over there. All right. Thank you very much. All right, let's go. Okay. A dive bomber. We need both. James is trying to say, hey, faith and works are a thing that goes together. You see, there are people going, hey, I'm saved. I believe in God, and didn't change one iota. Did nothing. Lived like me when I was 14 years old. Still doing the same thing, but had this insurance policy. Hey, I prayed a prayer, so I'm going to get in there, right? I don't know how valid that is. I'm not trying to address that, but I'm trying to address what James was trying to talk about. And that is, listen, folks, it's not just, I have this faith and I believe in God. He's asked, what are you doing about your faith? How has your faith changed your life? And then he's also saying, not how has it changed your life 10, 15, 20 years ago? How is it changing your life today? Today, how has it changed your life? Today, how has your faith been put into action, put into works, that people see it and go, wow, man, I want to be like you. I want that in my life. I want that for me. I want to be changed. I want to be set free. I want to know what it's like to walk with God in that powerful, powerful wonderful way. I started thinking about some of the other folks in Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that faith chapter, about all these great men and women who are talked about because they're esteemed because of their faith. There's Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets, all excited, all had faith. And you know what it says in Hebrews? He talks about their faith and then says, what they did. This person, what they did. This person, what they did. Demonstrating the action, demonstrated the validity of the faith they possessed. Do we have the validity, the stamp of approval of works that aren't a negative thing? They're a positive thing after salvation. Before salvation, they mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. After salvation, they mean everything as they're mixed with faith. They mean everything as they're fixed with faith, because it demonstrates who you are as a Christian, as a man of God. I think also about, you know, I love that the Bible puts so many things in tension. Faith and works, they seem like they're opposites, but they're not really opposites. It's like this string here. It's intention, right? That's intention too. And whose guitar is this? I see your intention as well. See how tension works? Well, you know how tension works. It works like that. It lubricates the soul, right? Break half of it. Here's tension. And you know what tension does? Whoops. Oh, there's a pick in it. That's all I know. It's intention. This string is intention. And you know, because it's intention, you know what? It goes... I mean, it's intention. It's tuned in. You know why? Because it's intention. All right? It's intention. Now, if I take the tension away, what did the tension do? When I released the tension, what happened? It went flat. Is that flat? Is that what it is? It's out of tune. It doesn't make music. It's tuned out. And when we don't have faith and works working together in our life, we are tuned out from the purposes of God that He has for you each and every day. And we sound like that to the world. How's your day going? Not good. Not good. Not a good day. Why? Because I don't have my... Put a little tension in here. All right, do you see what I'm saying? You get the idea there? You want this back personally? Here. No. All right. Do you get the idea? It wasn't a bad thing when James says, works! Oh! Oh! Not works! That's bad! That was good for my throat. There's tension in there. It wasn't this Antichrist. You can't say works when you talk about Christianity. You can't say works. Works, bad word. No, it's not. It's a great word. It's an awesome word in Christianity. It just doesn't precede our Christianity. It follows our Christianity. Works can never precede it because we can never be good enough. You can't work enough, do enough, be enough. You can't do it to get there. You can only get there by grace and respond by faith. But faith, it's just faith. It just grabs on and does nothing else. Is it really faith? Faith is when we start walking and changing and moving and doing what He says for us to do. Faith in action. A faith that works. A faith that works. Are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? Now, after all that discussion, I want to go back and look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians where he says, you know, grace, faith, not of works. Look at even Paul. Look what he says here. We stop there. Look what Paul says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't boast. You can only boast in Jesus Christ and how awesome He is to you. Then look at verse 10. We stop there. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for... 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 Wow. We forgot to read the rest. Even Paul was probably looking at James going, yeah, exactly, James. We go on. It's exactly what I was trying to explain as well. We were created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're supposed to walk in good works. A walk, what we call a Christian walk. That's called your what? Your lifestyle, right? When we say that He has a Christian walk, His walk is His lifestyle. He's saying these good works are supposed to be a part of our lifestyle as Christians. It's a part of our lifestyle. It's our walk. That we should walk in them. That we should do them. That we should have action. Walk in them means that they become our lifestyle. But we don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we're already saved. Works demonstrate and show that we have faith. And it puts our faith into action. Faith is the cause. Action is the action is the effect. The works. Faith, the cause. The response. The effect of it is works. Because I have faith first. Faith first. Works don't precede faith. They follow faith. You can't work Jesus into your heart. You can't work Him in. If He's in your heart, you'll gladly work Him out. I.e. out to the world. You can't work Him in. You can never work Jesus Christ into your life. But you can work Him out into a world that so desperately needs Him. By your lifestyle. By your actions, by your attitudes, by the way you conduct yourself. Faith and works are not antagonists. They're not an either or an or. The order is important, but we must do them. In Titus 2:4 it says, being zealous for good works. In Titus 3:8 it says this, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, 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 that those who have believed in God, I believed in God, I had faith at 14, but I was not walking it out. And he says, for those that believe in God, have faith, should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Maintain good works. Let me digress for a moment. Maintain good works. Maintain good works. That means keep doing good works, right? You know, I think that the danger with us who have lived in Christ a long time is that we started off, our life got changed, things happened, we moved along, Lordship, He became our Lord, and we're doing what He says and all that, and we do it for a while, and then we kind of get into a little spot where we just kind of like, just dependent on our past. Did it all. I did it. I did everything. I did it. Now I don't do much anymore. I've already done. I am done out. I'm done. Maintain good works. Not a Christian for a while, but a Christian forever. Not working for a while, but working out our salvation day by day, by day, by day, by day. What actions are we changing daily in our lives right now Because God's moving upon us. Because we're alive in faith and we're responding in action. Do we maintain? They will know that you're Christians by our... Go ahead and say it with me. By our love. Okay, there is that phrase too. Not by your kind thought. I have a warm thought for you, a real fuzzy warm thought. Oh, I know you're a Christian because you had that warm thought for me. I felt it yesterday. I felt that thought you had for me. Now, how does the world know you're a Christian? By what you did. You stopped, you helped, you did, you moved. How do they know that Jesus is so wonderful and so awesome? By what he did. He moved in the lives of people each and every day. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. Moms, you know when you tell your kids, Billy, go empty the garbage. And Billy says, okay.
Okay, Mom. All right, Mom.
And Billy doesn't move off the couch. Is he really demonstrating his love for you right then? Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. How do you know that Billy really loves Mom and appreciates her when he gets up off his derriere and goes, Mom, where's the garbage? I would love to do it right now. Right now. Oh, why am I doing the garbage? Is there any other choice you'd like me to do right now? Right now. I'm in one of the most important spots of the Masters golf tournament, but I am here for you right now. Right now. Because God gave us a great gift. It's called DVR. DVR. So now I can. Before, in times past, I could not because I would miss it. But now, I can. I can. Thank God for DVR. Because now I can straightway obey because, praise God, there's a DVR. I mean, when we do something. I'm telling you what. You college kids are going to have an opportunity to go home. When you go home, my encouragement is do something that will blow the rest of your family out of the water. Like, Mom, you sit down. I'll do the dishes. And don't just throw them all in the garbage. Mom, you sit down. You've been working much too hard lately here. I'm going to clean the house. Now, there's also different standards between a mom and a kid on what is clean. But anyway, it's a thought that counts, right? No, I guess not. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does, he who puts it into action. In Matthew 7, going on a little bit further, he's talking about the does. These Pharisees, they had works, they were doing a lot of works, but they had no real faith. And he says this to them, woe you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Oh, you're doing, well, you got the doing down, you don't have the faith down. Another verse, they had the faith down, didn't have the doing down in Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? Oh, you got the faith down and do not do the things which I say. We need them both. We can't do one without the other. Jesus, speaking in Matthew 25, talking about separating the sheep from the goats. He's separating them out. And he says, hey, why is one a sheep and one a goat? Well, the reason you're a sheep and not a goat, he talks about the goats are going to be discarded. The sheep are going to come close. And he says, the difference? Well, I was hungry. You gave me food. Thirsty. You gave me drink. A stranger. You took me in. Naked. And you clothed me. I was sick. And you visited me in prison. You came to me. You did. You did. You did. You did. But Lord, I mean, we didn't do that for you. And he says, yes, you did. Because if you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You understand that every action you do for somebody else, you are really doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of who that person is, you're doing it for him. You're doing it for him. Let me bring this down to a close. Those of you that went to Haiti, you did it to the least of these. You did it for him. You did it for him. How awesome, how wonderful when we do for Jesus Christ.
Because we have faith. A faith that's working. Is faith working in you? Is faith working in you? In Matthew 5:16, it says this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They may see your good works. And what's the result of that? The people see it? They glorify God. And you know how they glorify Him? By maybe coming to Him. Maybe saying, wow, I see what He's like and what He does, and something's changed Him, and I want that too. They glorify God by coming to Him and entering a relationship with Him themselves. I love this. This little deal up here. What is that? What does it say? Oh, it says Nike. It says what? It says just do it, right? What's this? What does it say? Well, for him he says, I just did it. For us he says, just do it. Well, I don't know if I just do it. I don't know if I got the time. Just do it. God wants us to have a just do it faith. Because that was the faith of Jesus Christ when He walked this earth. And the faith He told us to have. Like Jesus, He just did it. He just did it. He just did it. He always had time. He always moved. He sacrificed Himself so He could lift up others. Just do it. Just do it. Step out of your comfort zone and just do it. When was the last time you just did it? You just shared your faith, regardless. Where you just went on a mission trip. Haven't been in a while. You just did it. You stepped out of your comfort zone and you helped someone. You prayed for someone. You moved into their life. You did something for them. You sacrificed yourself and it felt so good because you just did it. You just did it. It's the last time you discipled somebody. You discipled one because you wanted to give away of what you have inside of your treasure chest. And we all have so much treasure. Are we giving it away? Are you discipling someone else? Can I give you a last challenge as we close? Could you look for an opportunity this week to just do it? Just do it. Father, I'm so thankful that You're a God who lived by the phrase, just do it. And Lord, You just did it. You did it all. And when You left us, Lord, You encouraged us and You commanded us to go and make disciples. You said to just do it. Just do it. I'll be with You always. And Lord, I pray for us today. Whether we're one day old in the Lord or 57 years old in the Lord or anywhere in between. That today, Lord, You would challenge us to just do it once again. Just do it another time. Just move. Just help. Just disciple. Just do like Jesus would do. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a just do it Christian like You. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I encourage you right here. There are going to be some people who would love to pray for you about accepting Jesus into your life or pray for any other need that you may have. If you want to spend some time at the altar coming up afterwards and sealing it in, I pray that all of you, though, would take the challenge. Think about something this week. Look for an opportunity to just do it where you can say, hey, I just did it. I just did it. And I encourage you, if you have those moments, email me, phil@livingfaithfellowship.com. I'd love to hear them. I'd love to rejoice with you. about what you just did. And it doesn't have to be something great. I just changed the world. Now, I just helped somebody on the side of the road. I just said something nice to a person I don't like very much. I just, whatever. God says, Christian, Christ follower, just do it and enjoy a faith that works. God bless you guys. I love you tons. Be dismissed.